today we're going to be concluding our series, Overcoming Tough Times. This has been a powerful series as we talked about going through seasons of life where it's difficult. And we mentioned that we're all in one of three areas of our life. We're either just coming out of a tough season, getting ready to go into a tough season, or you're in a tough season. All of us are probably in one of those three categories. We've either already come through one, or in the middle of one, or maybe you're getting ready to go through one sometime in the future. But all of us here, even if you're not going through one right now, I guarantee you take these notes and hang on to them because you're going to need them. They're going to come back handy in your life. You say, now, Pastor Gene talked about this a few months ago. It was about 6 months ago, whenever it was, that he was talking about how to handle when these tough times arise in my life. And we talked about standing firm. We talked about going through this tough season with praise in our heart and with patience and enduring and waiting what God has for it. And the one thing that we do know through this whole series that when we enter into a tough season, into a difficult season of our life, Scripture says that God has already set an end to that season. Before you ever enter into your tough season, God has already set an end to that tough time in your heart and to your life. God has already destined that season would end. And to those who do not give up, to those who prevail, that there shall what always be a vein of silver, as Job talked about. There's always a silver line that God has there, a vein of silver that leads to those who don't quit digging, to those who don't give up, but persevere. Listen, we've all been hurt. Isn't that true? Every one of us have been hurt. Every one of us have had people do us wrong. Every one of us have had major disappointments in our life. It's a part of life. We know that. But the difference is that how are we going to walk through it? Are we going to give up during a tough season? Or are we going to say, you know what? I know where my source comes from. I know that as I'm going through my tough season, that God is using this to refocus my life. God is using this tough time that I'm walking through to get my priorities back in alignment where they need to be. And we talked about how our children, we many times do that with them, don't we? When their priorities are out of whack, that we have to apply the pressure, take away things, ground them from things, and take away privilege to get them refocused back on their schoolwork, to get their attitude back in the right place, to make sure they're doing responsible things the way they should. Every parent who loves their children will do this, won't they? They will make sure that they are guiding them and they are raising them to become productive adults, who will be good parents, who will be good workers, who will show respect to authority, who knows how to work for what they have. And so we know that as we're teaching them this, that how much more does our God apply pressure to us at times in our life? How much more does God sometimes have to refocus us when we get our hope and our security in our things? If your hope is in your bank account, it's in the wrong thing today. If your hope is in our relationships, it's in the wrong thing today. The only foundation that is secure is the foundation of our faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, he refocuses us as we go through this tough time, if we'll allow him. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, the power of the bounce. The power of the bounce. Let's look at our text in Micah 7, 8. Look what it says. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Well, what a powerful statement right there. Even though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I love this because he's talking to his enemy. He's going through a tough season in his life. He says, don't gloat over me. How many's ever had those times in the car or maybe at home by yourself and you're going through things and you just feel like Satan's in your ear just making fun of you? You ever had those times where you know he's back there mocking you? He's telling you, you know, you thought you had it all figured out, didn't you? You thought you were financially finally out of it. You thought you were doing better. You thought your relationship was getting better. And you thought this was happening. And when things begin to get hard, Satan will come to you and he'll begin to speak into your ear and tell you things that are lies. He'll tell you things that are misguiding you. And he'll gloat over you like, ha, where's your God now? And so there comes a point in your relationship with God that you have to not just get mad. Sometimes you just got to rise up and say this, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Because even though I may fall, I shall rise. It's the theology of bounceology, really, isn't it? Can I introduce a new word to you this morning? We're going to call it bounceology. Ology means the study of, right? Students, right? Am I right? Some of you are like, yeah. Yeah, ology means the study of, and bounce means to something to suddenly fall with a rapid return, okay? And so today I need someone who's really experienced with the bounce ology to help me out today. Where's our point guard from Missouri Southern? Is he here today? There he is. TJ, give it up to TJ. Come here, TJ. Now, anybody in this room that is good at bouncing this ball, this guy is right here. This guy can get up and down the court and move that ball fast. He has got this bounceology right. Now, I've been working with him a little bit. From the sideline, you're doing good. You're going to keep it up. That's what I'm doing. But anyway, I would take you on. You ready this morning? I think you and I should go one-on-one. Get my brace, Pastor Matt. I think I forgot my brace. It might get ugly here if I do that. But there's something about the power of bounce. Give me a little bit of bouncing dribble. Okay. Now we know this thing that, look at this ball. Can you see this ball? When it goes down, what happens? Comes right back up. Have you ever played basketball with a flat basketball? Is it impossible to play basketball with a flat basketball? Yes. Okay. It just doesn't happen. But true basketball, the form is compressive air, and any ball is compressed of things in the side that causes it to return. There's something about this power of the bounce. There's power in the bounce. How many know that as a bouncer, as you dribble the ball, TJ, that if you dribble too hard, what's going to happen? You must stay in control, right? You're going to be called for carrying the ball over your head, like I saw my third graders doing, second graders doing yesterday the whole game. They're running down the court, and the ball's up here because they haven't learned the power of the bounce yet, that it doesn't take as much pressure, and it's all about precision and gliding down the court. Like silk. It's like butter. You need to go down there, man. Give it up to TJ. I appreciate him helping me out this morning. So today, we're going to talk about this bounceology today. I want to talk about four components of the bounce. Four components of the bounce. Make sure you're paying attention. All right. Four components of the bounce. Let's look at it real fast this morning. First of all, the first component I want to talk to you about is the fall. The fall. We know this, for something to bounce, it must first fall. It must first fall. It's the thing that's a principle of bouncing is that before something can return up, it must first fall. If you find yourself in a sudden fall today, I say you're getting ready to bounce. If you find yourself suddenly falling, maybe you've gone through a horrible situation in your life that you didn't see coming. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it was marital problems. Maybe it was trouble with your children. Maybe it was your finances. Maybe you were laid off of work. Things happening, and things happened you didn't see coming. And all of a sudden, you think you're going just great. You've got plans. You've got dreams. You've got it all figured out. And all of a sudden, within a few hours, a few minutes, the whole thing just changes. You feel like someone just left the bottom out of you. You ever rode those rides at Six Flags and other places when the men, they take you up high, and they just let you go? You're like, zoo. You know, this is what it feels like in our life, that many times we are just high as a kite. We're going along. Things are really happening. Things seem to be doing just so good in our life. And all of a sudden, zoom, the bottom comes out of us. And when we're falling, we didn't see that coming. It just blindsided us. We find things get difficult in our life. Every one of us goes through them. And not just through one time in life, but it happens periodically throughout our whole life that things hit us off guard and we find ourselves in a sudden fall. Look what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 2 says. 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Let me tell you, there's something about the fall today that you must be connected to a body of believers that are going to help you up. When you're going through a fall in your life, and we're all going to do it, what the most powerful thing about going through the fall is that you have people around you who are going to be here to help you. Because we're all going to fall. It's going to happen. We're all going to have times when we need somebody to come beside us and pick us up. We're all going to need a friend to come along beside us and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to walk through this with you. We're going to pray with you through your tough season. We're going to come along. We're going to cry with you. We're going to laugh with you. We're going to rejoice with you. We're going to help you when we can. We all need these people in our life. And I really feel sorry for the people who are not connected to a local church, who do not have the brotherhood that of Christian brotherhood that God has intended for us to have. He's always intended to be connected to the body of Christ so that when we fall, we have someone to help us back up. You say, well, I don't need anybody to help me. You are very mistaken. Nobody is a lone ranger. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody, even a lone ranger, needs a Tonto. Even the skipper needs a Gilligan. You got Gilligan off the island. There you go. All right, some of you waiting for that. Look what Proverbs 17:17 says. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for what? For a time of adversity. It says that a brother is born for a time of adversity. It didn't say a brother is just born for a time of celebration. It says a true brother. And this is not talking about blood brothers. We're talking about spiritual terms, that spiritual brothers and sisters are born for times of adversity. It's when we go through these times of falling that we need each other the most. This is why it's so important to be connected into a family life group. We just finished up our last semester in January. We'll be kicking them off at the end of January, kicking off some new set of family life groups. It's very important you're connected to groups of people who you can share your life with and talk about the pain and the things and celebrate the good times, but also have someone there to help you when you fall, because we're all going to have those times, and we need people who come along beside us, because a true brother is born for adversity. I know that if you've ever played any sports, anybody ever played on a sports team before at all? Raise your hand. If you've ever played on any sports team ever, from the time you was a kid, yeah, most of us here have done something as a part of a team. And I tell you, I know that sports isn't for everybody, and it's, even though I live in Webb City, it's not the end-all, you know? I know that, you know, it's not the most important thing in life. But one of the great things about being a part of a team is you learn to the brotherhood or the sisterhood, if you're for a woman here today, of the camaraderie of those who go through adversity. It's so unique to see teams who've gone through maybe a tough season and how they bond together and they get so close, or a team who's gone through a championship year. I know that back when I was in high school, I won a state championship there in Oklahoma with a group of guys. And even now, today, that we are still very, very, over 20 years later, we are still having just a great bond. And we get on Facebook and someone will talk about the game. All of a sudden, you got 50 guys going back online talking about the game or talking about things happening. And you can just feel like it was yesterday, that the bond that we have, because we went through adversity and we went through the challenge and the winning and together. And there's something about that really stirs up in our heart a need to protect our brothers. And, you know, how much more is it more important than in the body of Christ that we're connected together? You know, sports are great and it teaches you a lot of life lessons, but it doesn't matter. When God, we get to heaven, God's not going to ask you what team he's on, because everybody knows he roots for the Cowboys. Okay, that's just all right. And sometimes he's got to refocus them. Right, Tom? Okay. But we all know that he's not just worried about that, but he does worry about this, that we are growing in our fellowship together, that we are there to carry each other when we fall. And we must learn this element of we're all going to fall. But the scripture says that we have brothers and sisters around us who will help us. Now, one of the hard things is this, that we don't want anybody to help us, or we don't want anybody to know we've fallen. You know, you've seen the commercial, I've fallen, I can't get up. We almost reacted at this morning, but we won't go there. But anyway, we have those who, in the church, who they fall spiritually, and they fall, things are happening, and they don't want to ask for help. They want to just go along like nothing's ever happened, and I can make it on my own. Listen, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You'll never get over your hurdle. You'll never get back up on your feet the way that you need to unless you allow other people to come along beside you and help you. And so we form those bonds of unity together through the brotherhood, the Christianhood that God has called us to live into. Listen, when you go through a tough time and tough season, how does the world tell you to handle your tough season? I mean, you'll find that the bars, even during Christmas season, I mean, the bars are full of people who are out there crying over. There's a tear in their beer crying over their pain. This weekend, they're depressed about the holidays and what's going on, and they're crying about things happening because they've had legitimate things happen to them. But let me tell you today, you're never going to find support you need in the bar. You're never going to find support you need. Listen, if you're going through a tough time in your marriage, don't go to someone who's been married 3 times and ask them for marriage support. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Get around people who had the same purpose, had the same vision for your life and for their life. Say, I want to get around people who are going to help me get over this, not hang around people who are going to help me go back to what I did. Don't hang around people who have your addiction and they had the same addiction. No, you get away from that. Get away from that. Say, you know what? I got to be around the brotherhood. I got to be around people who are going to pull me out, who are going to help me get through this tough season of my life. But get with them. Satan loves to isolate you so he can pick you off. You know, one of the things that I there's a show out there that says behind, you ever watch these documentaries called Behind the Music? You ever seen any of these? You see some of the bands of the 70s and 80s or even 90s now that are out there, and they talk about the glory days they had when they were number one on the charts. And, you know, and I was like, my video was like the first one on MTV and all these things. They have all these things going on. And you watch these documentaries and they talk about the high life all these people live. And now they talk about where they are now. And they, all these people, the movie stars and rock stars and things, they'll talk about how great it was during the glory days. But once the times got tough, once the hits quit coming in, once the money ran out, how all the friends disappeared. Isn't it great that everybody can have friends when there's money? You ever notice that? If you want friends, just have money because they'll find you, okay? Oh, I'm your best friend. I got your best heart. But when you go through something and you don't have the money to pay for dinner, you don't have the money to help them out and help them support what they're wanting to do, that they'll leave you and drop you so fast. But today we know this. We see this happening. They would say, I had all my friends left me and all these things happening. That, listen, there's only way you're going to rise back up is when you're connected with true believers who are going to be there when you fall, who are going to be there to help you rise back up again, because God has destined that we rise back up again. The just man falls how many times? Seven times, but he rises every time. We must learn to bounce. How many know the bigger, the harder the fall, what happens? The bigger the bounce. The harder the bounce, the higher the return. Even though you may be getting slammed around, there's a return that God has for you. Let's talk about the second part of this real quickly. The part of the impact. When you dribble the ball, when you bounce the ball, there's a part of impact. Even though you don't see it with the naked eye, we really can't see what's happening here. This ball at the compact is actually flattening down and giving way. Even though it happens so fast, we can't catch it. Matter of fact, I found some stuff on the internet I want to show you. Show you some slow motion. I think we got a tennis ball here being hit off the racket. Watch how the slow motion, how this hits. Look at that ball giving way. It almost compacts back to a pancake before it springs back out. One more time, show that one. Can you rerun that back? Look at that. Look at it giving way before it springs back out. I think we also have one of a baseball. Baseball's hard. It doesn't give, does it? Look at this baseball being hit at impact. How much it gives. Never would see that, would you, in the naked eye? But there's something about giving way. Sometimes we have to survive the impact. Part of the bounce is that many people give up on impact. They give up on impact, and they see the impact is so hurtful. The impact is so disforming. The impact is so hard to go through that when they go through a hard time. Gotta be careful. When they go through a hard time, the impact does them in. They want to give up right away. Look what Scripture says about going through the impact in our life, going through the hard times. In Proverbs 24:10, it says this, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. What he's saying is that when times get hard, we are not to faint. We're not to give up. We're not to quit. We're not supposed to quit. Because if you are, your strength is small. But we're called to be people who do not give up. And when we have hard things happen in our life, when they do, because they are going to happen, when they do, we're called not to give up. But there's a power in the theology of bounceology. Because even though the impact is hard, the bounce is great. And so what happens many times is we give up on impact. We're squashed. And we are disformed, and we lose our shape because of the hard impact, which takes us to our third point, which is the restoration. The restoration. Because what happens is this, the ball loses its shape upon impact, but at some point, the force on the outside is pushing in. But at some point in that ball, the force on the inside will not take it anymore. And when the force on the inside says, I'm not going to give anymore, it begins to spring back. And that's where the bounce and the return comes from. Because even though it's been losing its form, at some point the pressure on the inside is going to spring back and say, no, enough's enough. I'm going to give away. Now, this is good this morning because you don't want to go where I'm going. I know the force on the inside is greater than the force on the outside, which causes it to spring up. How many know the greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world? So even though you're being pushed, even though you feel like you're being crushed, even though you feel like you're losing your form, you may be going through something, man, I am just losing it, man. I do not look anything like I used to look like. I don't feel like anything I used to feel like. At some point, if you do not give up, you survive the impact of the tragedy, survive the hardship of what's going through there. Enough's enough, and the force of the inside, the Holy Spirit says, all right, it's time to give back. It's time to push back. And the push back is where we get the return. It's the push back that we see the force coming back in our life. And there's something great on the inside of us. It is restoring us. The spirit of restoration just begins to take place. And it brings you back to your original shape. We all have a breaking point, don't we? We all have a breaking point, and then we want to fight back. You ever been around the kid in class when he was growing up? He was maybe small, and he had the weird glasses. And everybody wanted to pick on him. All the boys wanted to pick on him. Not everybody, but all the boys wanted to pick on him. And then all of a sudden, this kid just out of nowhere just goes crazy in the lunchroom one day and starts throwing his food around and hitting people with trays. And like, I've had enough. I mean, sometimes spiritually, we're the same way. We get to the point where sometimes we just got to say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And we got to stand up and say, you know what, God? I'm surviving this impact and I'm going to stand up. And God, I'm going to return back. I'm going to allow your spirit to restore me back to the way that you've planned for my life. I'm going to walk through this tough season. I'm going to take the best punch the devil's going to bring to me. You know what? And it may disform me for a while. I may look a lot different, but you know what? There's going to come a time when He who is greater inside me is going to cause me to return back to the place that God has for me. It's the power of the return. Look what Psalms 51 says here in verse 10 and also in verse 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The psalmist was going through a tough time. That's what was happening. He was taking some hard impacts, but he said, God, you sustain me. God, you create in me anew, even though I'm disformed right now. Even though I'm taking the best hits of the enemy, and I look disformed, God, you shall renew me. You shall create in me a new heart, a new spirit. You create in me a new drive, a new will to fight. God, you're placing me back. He said, restore back the joy of my salvation. He says, God, you return back, even though I haven't felt like there's been much joy lately. God, this past year has been a tough year. There's been little joy, but God wants to return back your joy. Even though you've been disfigured, you've been emotionally and spiritually, you feel like you're going through a time of being crushed, there's a time that God says, I want to restore back to you. I want you to bounce back, and I want you to restore back to you. I want to create into you a new heart. I want to give you a new spirit that's going to hold steadfast. It's not going to give up. I'm going to give you a new joy of your salvation. That's what our God wants to do to those who persevere, to those who don't give up during the tough season. We survive the impact, and we allow ourselves to be restored back. It's an awesome thing to be restored, because when we're restored, you know what happens? He makes all things new. He makes all things new. He restores. He makes all things new. So even though I may be crushed, He makes all things new. We sing that song here. He makes all things new. He does that in our life. We allow Him to restore us. And once we're restored, what happens? Once the inside pressure says, I've had enough, it begins to spring back and fight back. What happens then? What always happens? Once the pressure hits, what happens? the rise. Then you rise back up. The rise happens. The elevation happens. It rises up the elevation. Once the ball is restored, it begins to rise back up. God causes things that were against you to then begin to work for you. He uses the things that were against you, and He reverses them around, and He causes them to work for you. He takes these things that were once used to try to destroy your life, and now He's using them to work for your life. We see this time and time again. It was Joseph. He was thrown down in the pit. It was Joseph. He was thrown down. He was bounced down in the pit. Not only through the pit, but also Potiphar's wife, falsely accusing him of advances. What happens? He gets thrown in the dungeon. He gets thrown in the prison. I mean, you talk about a person who had big dreams coming down to a hard fall. But he didn't stay there, did he? He rose back up, and he didn't just rise back up to the surface. He rose back up higher than he was ever before. There's restoration that happened in his life. Paul was thrown down many times. He was beaten many times. But he rose back up greater than when he was went down. Many times. Who else is a good example of this? Oh, it was our Savior, Jesus, who was thrown down on the cross. Thrown down even further in the grave. But He rose again with a bounce. And when He came back up, He says, I have the keys to the gates of hell, and they shall not prevail. He brought back and said, oh, death, where is your what? Sting. The grave, where is your victory? He can't bounce back up. He says, listen, I may be thrown down, but I'm going to bounce back up. Listen, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in our life. That same resurrection power. So even though I may go down from time to time, even though I may go through some tough times, I may have things that happen that are tough in my life. If I hang on to the Lord and I don't give up and I keep seeking after Him and I stay faithful to Him, I stay connected to the brothers and I stay connected to the Holy Spirit, what happens? Even though I go down, I must return up. It's the theology of bounceology. I must return back up. I must return back up. So today, maybe you're going through a low point in your life. Maybe you're going through a point in your life where you say, you know what? I've just hit rock bottom. I got good news for you. You're getting ready to rise back up again. You're getting ready to return back to the form that God has destined for your life. God is getting ready to do something great in your life. It's the bounce. The bounce was greater than the fall. Musicians are going to come this morning. As they come, I want to tell you this. As I've been in prayer, praying for many of you. I believe this series was well-timed. I can't remember a time in our church when I've had so many people, that, especially in our leadership, that have gone through a lot of really tough times, tough seasons. Not just one or two, but several. And even many of you going through tough times in your life. How many know if Satan's messing with us, there must be a reason? Do you realize that? When God's getting ready to do something big, that Satan wants to mess with you. He wants you to give up. He wants you to throw in the towel and quit. And so He's going to mess with you, man. He's going to allow things to come that make you want to give up. Things come that make you want to quit. So today, I'm here to tell you that in 2011, which is just a couple weeks away, God spoke to my heart. So in 2011, it's going to be a year of restoration and a year of bounce. For many of you here in this room, let me say it again. That 2011 is going to be a year of restoration and a year of the bounce, the return. That God's going to return back to you the thing that you thought you lost. He's going to return back to you your joy. He's going to return back to you things that Satan's tried to take away out of your life. He's going to restore back to you, and you're going to walk again. Not only are you going to walk again, He's going to restore back to you the strength to run again. The strength to run again. I believe today that God is wanting you to rise back up to those who don't give up. The series we've been talking about throughout this whole series, not giving up, going forward, moving forward in the Lord. Today, I'm going to ask you just to very reverently, just bow your heads this morning where you're at. If you're here today and say, Pastor, as you're talking about this, I realized that, first of all, and the most important thing we could ever do this morning is to simply ask you this question that we ask so many times here, because it's the most important thing. The question is this: if we die today, will we be ready? Would I be ready to meet Jesus as my personal Savior? No one's looking around but me, and I will not embarrass you in any way at all. But I just want to ask you this question today before we go any further. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I need to confess Him as Lord of my life. I need to make things right. And maybe you've done that in the past. And say, Pastor, I've just been away from Him for a long time. And today I want to come back and I just want to renew that relationship with Him. It's time for your bounce back even today, starting right now. For many of you here, God's wanting to rise you up out of the ashes. God's wanting to raise you back up. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I just want to raise my hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. No one's looking but me. Say, I'm ready to make that commitment to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. Can you raise your hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. Anybody else want to join them today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to make that decision. In my heart, I'm raising my hand saying I'm ready to make that decision today. Thank you. Before we go any further today, I'm going to ask that we all just say this prayer. We're going to repeat it together. Especially those who raise your hands today, I want you to really mean it from your heart. Say this prayer with me this morning. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give to you today. I will live for you. I will live for you today. I confess you as Lord of my life. I believe you are the Messiah. From today forward, I want to change. I want to draw close to you in my relationship. If you say that prayer today, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Just give him a hand clap, yeah. Now listen, today, just saying that prayer is just the very, very beginning. Just the very, very beginning. It's very important today that we realize that our relationship is just not a one-time thing. It's just not a one-time prayer. We walk away and think we're good. It's the beginning of saying, God, I want to learn to walk toward the things of Scripture that you're teaching me. I want to learn to walk toward a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to need to be plugged into a church body. If you don't have a church home, come here. We would love to have you. Be connected to our church body so you can form that brotherhood we talked about. You're accepted here. We don't care about your past. We don't care about where you're going, your future. And today we want to make sure that we extend that invitation to you. Today I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. And today as you're talking, even as I'm talking, even my spirit, I know there's people here today. Say, Pastor, I'm ready for the bounce. How many today can raise you? Say, Pastor, I'm ready for the return. I'm ready for the elevation of my life. That's right. It's the return. God, listen, God is destined in your life a return. Even though we fall, we shall, the righteous shall rise again. God is already destined. He's already put it out there. He's already set an end to the darkness. He's already set a place of return for you. As we see in Scripture, in many people's lives, whether it was David, whether it was Job, whether it was Joseph, whether it was Paul, even though they went through tough times, and even though they walked through these times, when they fell, they always rose up stronger and in a greater blessing when they survived it. And so listen, there's something great waiting for those who don't give up. There's something great waiting for those who don't throw in the towel and say, you know what? I'm going to persevere. I'm going to bounce back. And I'm going to pray that God restores my joy back. God restores my marriage back. God restores my children back. God restores my finances back. God restores my health back. God restores back everything that the enemy has tried to eat away. Everything the enemy has tried to eat away, God is going to restore back that harvest back to your life. Today's going to happen. We're going to sing this song together, moving forward. If that's you today, you're saying, I'm ready for my bounce back. I want you to declare this song out of your heart as we close out the series, saying, I am moving forward. I'm not staying here, but there's a bounce coming to me. Even though I may be slammed to the ground, I'm going forward. I'm going out with a spring. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to dictate what God has already destined in my life. I'm going to move forward. Come on, let's go.
second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yeah, 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 yeah. Going back, moving ahead into the emerging gloom. The past is over in you.
Coming back to your step. There's a bounce coming back to your life. God's restoring back. He's moving you forward. You're going to return back to the place that God has destined for you to walk in. And it's going to be even greater than the past. We believe that today. We declare that over you today. I know today God has got some great in store. Do not give up, but persevere. Now listen, today as we dismiss today, I want to remind you we're going to stack up the chairs in rows of eight, all except for this very last section over here. The rest of these sections we're going to stack up in rows of eight. We're going to get some guys to help us pull up some tables before we leave today. But turn around to somebody and tell them, I'm moving forward. How about you?